I'm Trudy Kerr, and welcome to The Interviewer. In this series, I talk to artists, campaigners, men and women of influence, musicians, performers, sportsmen and women, politicians, businessmen and women, and anyone who shapes the fabric of our society. My guest today is all about sports. In fact, today's guest was a sports master at Stella Maris College. He also is studying for a doctorate in sports, physical education and health sciences, management development and elite at the University of Edinburgh. And he is the president of Athletics Malta, which has some outstanding news to share. We're going to be getting to that a little bit later on. But he's also a husband and played a key role in last week's Intersport Lavalette Marathon in guiding the team to bring excellence to sporting events in Malta. Today, I'm talking to Andy Grech to find out about him and everything he is passionate about. Andy, so good to have you on the show. Thank you so much for being with me here on The Interviewer.
My pleasure. I'm really excited to be here.
I'm really glad. I mean, it's great. We've actually been working quite closely over the last couple of months, so it's really cool to be talking to you, to be finding out what you're up to, but also I want to find out about you. And to start off, I want to ask you, what was or is your sport or your sport discipline? Because I'm assuming it was or is athletics rather than, let's say, ice skating or figure skating or curling or something like that.
So basically, when I was around 6 years old, I started off with gymnastics. Yeah. I really believe that it is the core of every sport. So yeah, started off with gymnastics. I was in the national team. I think I stopped at around 14 years old, and then I started athletics. I started athletics from my secondary school. I had a great PE teacher. I think you might know him because he is in the athletics world as well. His name is Kevin Zamit. Fantastic athlete himself. He was my PE teacher, my role model. And I was his first athlete that sort of he took on after school. And he found my first coach, and the rest is history.
Okay, I am absolutely intrigued, Andy, because you mentioned, we're going to come to the athletics, but you mentioned gymnastics. Yeah. So when you say gymnastics, you're talking about tumbling, you're talking about beam, you're talking about these sorts of things? Or?
So basically, the male apparatus is six. We have six.
Okay.
We have obviously the vault, we have the floor, the beam is done by the women. We have parallel bars, it's all right. We have the parallel bars, we have the pommel, I think I'm missing another two. The rings as well.
Did you mention the floor?
And the floor.
Okay.
That's it.
So when you were doing this at school, up until 14 years old?
No, I used to do it after school. So basically I used to go to school, San Andrea.
Okay.
School finishes at 3, training starts at 4, my mom will prepare my lunch, and I will just make the walk over to the next school in San Antonio.
But how did you get into this?
I think it was friends, really. A friend of mine used to practice gymnastics. I went to watch him and her, and that's it, really. We loved it. Me and my sister were obsessed with it, yeah.
This is really unusual to hear.
Yeah.
And really, I mean, I'm loving it.
Not many people know this about me.
Well, everybody knows about it now. But you said as well that this gives you the foundation for every other...
Everything.
Why?
Everything.
Why?
In fact, many of our best athletes come from gymnastics. We have Clara Tsopardi, who's a long jumper. We have Pepina Dali, former gymnast as well. We had Jeremy Borge, long jumper, very good. Myself.
But why? Why does gymnastics give you such a foundation?
It's a sport where you need total control of your body at every single point in time. If you sort of lose focus and your body is out of control, you risk injury. So your body and your mind are constantly focused. And that obviously sort of when you're taking the next step into a different sport, your body is just wired that way for the rest. It's just long-term muscle memory, really.
I absolutely did not do gymnastics at school. So I can relate to how much I'm out of touch with my body.
In fact, if my body is so used to it, like even now at my age, I can just do a handstand, I can flip for you. It's just, your body just gets used to it.
That's amazing. Yeah. So that then put you in a position where you're going to go into athletics.
Exactly. So basically, at around 14 years old, sort of I started to realize that I have sort of my potential is there. My fullest potential was sort of at 14. I couldn't develop anymore. And I spoke to my PE teacher, Kevin, and he told me, you should start athletics. You're quick, you're fast, you can jump. Why don't you do long jump? And that's it.
Because that's what I was going to ask you. I was going to ask you which of the disciplines within athletics was your discipline, your long jump.
So basically it was the jumps. We started off trying to do the pole vault, but at that point in time, we didn't have the facilities for pole vault. Pole vault is the one,
I love the pole vault. That's the one that really scares the crap out of everybody. It's the really high one, right?
Exactly. And that was basically every gymnast sort of, when he makes a transition into athletics, that is the sport, that is the event he goes right into. Because it's so close to gymnastics, really.
Okay. All right.
Again, you need total control of your body throughout the entire thing. And
so then instead of going to pole vault because there wasn't any facilities for that, you went into long jump.
My coach saw potential for me in the long jump.
I've been in Malta for 16 years, and I've seen sports in Malta explode from 16 years ago to where we are now. And now we have sportsmen and women in various disciplines. Take Yasmin Stevens, for instance. Yasmin Stevens, who's doing incredibly well in weightlifting. And you also have, as you mentioned, we're going to talk about a little bit later on about athletes and so on. But you don't immediately necessarily think of Malta and think of sports, because we maybe on the island have a reputation for not being very sporty.
Okay.
and I certainly wouldn't think of gymnastics, and I certainly wouldn't think of athletics. So putting this into context, athletes in Malta, how good are they? You've mentioned a bunch. You've mentioned a group of athletes. How good are they? Are we doing well in athletics at the moment?
You asked many questions. And when you were sort of speaking, I was really thinking about what I could say. I think sport in general, sort of, there is more importance. Let's say that the people in charge, are going in the right direction. I think the biggest sort of factor is are the facilities.
Yeah.
The biggest factor are the facilities. When we started off in athletics, there was just one room, I think as big as this room, which was the gym room. And all the athletes need to share, you share the equipment in this room. Sand was full of, dog and cat excrement, to be polite. No, it was bad. Yeah. And it was empty. So now, given the fact that sort of, let's just start off with the sandpit. Our sandpit is always full, and we don't have one, we have four. We have a pole vault mat now, which is brand new. We have a high jump mat. The facilities have just exploded, and not just in athletics, but everywhere else. And that not only sort of encourages athletes to take up the sport, but it also motivates coaches.
Okay.
So that, and that, in my opinion, again, was the reason why we have really improved. But, and there is always a but, countries which are of similar size to us, similar population, similar GDP, have been doing this for years. So Luxembourg, Liechtenstein, Cyprus, San Marino as well. And this is why they have Olympic medals. San Marino won their first two Olympic medals last summer.
So you are implying that we are a long way off that. And we're going to talk about facilities in just a second, because you've got this great news that we're going to be talking about as well. Which leads me on to my next question. You were recently involved and did an incredible role within the Intersport Levelette Marathon, which has been a great success. But you were there guiding the team on how to create an international standard event. And it would seem that Malta is the perfect location for sports events because of the climate, centrally located within Europe. But why are we not there? Why are we facing challenges? Is it the facilities? Because we're seeing trail running, we're seeing triathlons, and we're seeing duathlons and these sorts of things. But why maybe are we not getting the sports that we would want to?
Listen, the guys in charge put forward many kinds of programs. In fact, on Saturday we had Sports Malta and Sport Journalist Awards. And in fact, Marco Tyler, who's the CEO of Sport Malta, said that sort of the sports programs were sold out within 4 days. Yeah. And they cover everything, all ages, from football to ballroom dancing, for all ages. And they are full up. Again, maybe our population is interested, but our sporting population cannot take that on. For example, an issue that we might have soon, athletics boomed. Could be marketing, could be the way we're pushing the sport. But unfortunately, I believe that in a few years' time, we're going to have so many kids, so many athletes running around on the track that, all right, we just got this one done and it's going to look great. But in a matter of years, we're going to need a new track. And I always want to look in the long term. And this is something that I should probably really look into.
But isn't that a good problem to have?
We just got our track done after we waited maybe 25 years, 30 years.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's not such a good problem to have then.
So can we wait another 30 years for another track?
But if the demand is there, was it the case of the fact that there wasn't demand and now there is the demand?
We had many, 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 many good athletes over the years. And unfortunately, many of them were lost. Could be bad administration, could be bad facilities, they lost interest as well. Well, I don't really want that to happen again after sort of so much work we put in.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, there are fantastic athletes in Malta. We just had, as I said, the Intersport Lavalette marathon, the half marathon.
Yeah, that was something that I wanted to touch upon. In fact, I think basically the guys, Fabio, Matt and Charlie, they confronted me and they spoke with me. I think it was around maybe springtime last year, and they began telling me, listen, we want an internationally recognized race. And I think we worked very well together. I think as a country, as a running community, our biggest issue are the roads. Not because drivers and the way they drive and they don't understand that they're sort of cyclists and they're sort of important in the road and runners. And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about sort of the flat. We don't have anywhere flat. We cannot put on a fast race. There are ways of how, but then it will be a boring race. So we can easily come up with a race where just a 5K loop. We find a piece of flat land, 5K loop at the airport, for example. Fast, very fast race. I'm sure Maltese records will be broken there, maybe even European or world if we play our cards right. But who's going to enjoy that?
No, and I think that's something that's very key, because as much as we want records to be set, you also want people to enjoy and the atmosphere and to enjoy the event as well.
And this is where my PhD comes in place, right? So you have an option. In Malta, anyway, you have an option. It's either mass participation, which is where sports tourism lies, or it is elite sport. Elite sport is going to bring very fast results, but mass participation is where the money's at.
But it's also, yes, but it's also
healthy lifestyle, encouraging people to take the sport up, new goal, new challenge. Yes, granted. But don't forget that as Athletics Malta, we need to pay the bills.
Yes. But you see, here's where, you know, maybe I'm slightly going to disagree with you there, because if you look at the London Marathon, and I've run the London Marathon twice, it was the first marathon I ever ran, I was right in the midst of 39,000 people. You are in the middle of 39,000 people not going to set records. You have the elite group at the front who are going to set those records, and they are going to go off the start block and they're going to run fast, fast, fast. For the rest of us, it was an amazing event and it was a brilliant atmosphere. And I think you have to have that payoff between the two. Now, are you going to be able to make a marathon in Malta that's really super fast, or are you going to have something as the La Valette Marathon with a few hills? It's still a fantastic route.
No, it is a fantastic route, and it is obviously a very pretty route. Especially the finish. Sort of, there were people, naysayers, so to speak, that don't appreciate the fact that Malta has an international marathon, you know. There are other international marathons, for example, the Gozo Marathon now this year is going to be in September.
Yeah.
It is also internationally recognized.
Yeah, absolutely.
Again, but it depends on sort of the way you market.
It's also extremely hilly. I've run that one as
Gozo.
Well.
Gozo is hilly. Yeah, but it is internationally certified. And that is something that Athletics Malta keeps on insisting.
Yeah.
We need to get internationally recognized. If we are sort of internationally recognized, we are on the right websites, on the right brochures, then that is where people are going to see Malta. Listen, sun, scenic route, let's go. And that is what the guys wanted.
Well, let's talk about another international event that's about to happen, because I'm extremely excited about this. Athletics Malta have just announced that Malta is going to be hosting the Athletics Championships of the Small States. Now, what is this?
Okay, so
this is really exciting.
No, it is exciting for me because sort of, it's my personal first international event that Athletics Malta is organizing, and I am sort of the chairperson of the entire thing. And it is a lot of work. But we won the bid last October when we had the European Athletics Congress, and I was sort of elected vice president of the ASSC, which is the Athletic Associations of the Small States of Europe. And they gave us the go-ahead to organize it. We were given a grant by European Athletics, which does not cover half the expenses. But again, we are taking it to the next level. Last week we had our launch, and we had everyone, sort of all the volunteers, all the athletes as well present. We're trying to promote it as much as we can. We're going to have, I think, over, at this point in time, 327 athletes.
This is amazing.
327 athletes. Some of them are world and Commonwealth finalists. And they come from countries which are under the 1.5 million population.
Okay, so I'm going to read a statement because I want to ask you about this. It says, considered as the largest athletics event ever organized, on the 11th of June 2022, Malta will play host to the Championships of the Small States of Europe, bringing over 300 athletes, international athletes, as you've just mentioned, from 17 different European countries.
Including the Vatican.
The Pope is coming to run.
The Pope really came to Malta. But, journalists are coming to run.
That's amazing. It says, besides their respective coaches, member officials and VIP guests from European Athletics and World Athletics, do we have 17 small states in Europe?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know this. This is amazing.
In fact,
so they have to be what size? Smaller than?
Under 1.5 million.
Okay.
Okay.
So 17 of these countries. Wow. Wow, this is brilliant. And so we're playing host to this. This is really exciting.
It is. It is. And I'll be honest, it takes a lot of work.
I have no doubt, because not only is it an athletics event, but it's an international athletics event whereby at least 17 countries are putting the focus on Malta.
We need a lot of volunteers. a lot of experienced sort of technical officials. In fact, last year we did a technical sort of a referees course, which hasn't been done, I think, in around 15, 20 years.
Well, this leads really nicely into my next question, which is how do we get non-athletes involved in this event? Because this is phenomenal. This is a big event coming to Malta. We love these big events, and thank goodness it can happen because COVID restrictions are lifting, allowing people to come into Malta. There's been a lot of athletes, a lot of runners who were reluctant to come to Malta because of certain restrictions. These are now being lifted, so we can host these athletes. How do we get non-athletes excited about this and get them involved? You just mentioned volunteering.
That's one of our biggest headaches, really. I think our sort of the path lies within schools. Sort of, you know, if kids are interested in athletics or like sports, and sort of you want to see a sort of a exciting event, so you're gonna bug your mom and dad to take you, which is what I did when I was young in 2000, and when Malta hosted the games of the small states of Europe. My mom took me to sort of watch the games. And again, when I was 13, I wasn't interested in athletics. But that was, again, that was the sort of the factor that, you know, that the spark that sort of took me, sort of, you know, made me excited about athletics. And I'm sure that an event like this, and again, next year, the sort of the GSSC games, could be the potential spark factor that many kids need.
There are so many skills that I learned in school. As I mentioned, in the UK, the education system has a
massive grounds.
We also have an emphasis on sports, and not everything was, you know, involved massive grounds. We did gymnastics. We did little bits of jumping on things, even when I was about 6 or 7 years old. And one of the things that taught you is it taught you how to work with other people. It taught sportsmanship. It taught team building skills. I think there's a lot of things within sports.
Many
that we just don't realize.
Yeah. As in, I think if you don't practice sport or you don't live for sport, then you never understand whatever it is, team building, it's a million and one things. I think if we had to keep on discussing what sport gives to the individual, then we'll never stop talking.
Well, give me three things.
Three main things.
No,
you should have asked me this before I came. I would have thought about it.
I like the questions on the top of your head. Three things that sports brings to an individual or a child or just anybody.
I'm gonna speak about myself.
Yeah.
Even though I came from an individual sport, so gymnastics was individual, athletics was individual, it still taught me how to respect others. So it definitely teaches respect, whether it's your athlete, whether it's your official, whether whoever it is, your parents, your coach, that is number one, respect. I would say self-discipline as well. This is me personally speaking again. So if I know that, you know, tomorrow I have a competition, it is important. I'm not going out tonight. I'll stay home, watch a movie, fall asleep early, wake up tomorrow for training, competition. So self-discipline. There are too many. I can't choose three.
I'll let you have five if you really want five.
Let's obviously end the health.
Yes.
The health is a question mark, though, because, again, too much is not good. Take me, for example. I had to stop athletics because I didn't listen to my body and I ruined my knee. And I did two operations in the space of 6 months. And my knee is, even now, seven years later, it's still not 100%. And that is the reason why I cannot practice any other sport. I tried rugby as soon as sort of I tried to change direction. My knee buckled and I couldn't do anything else.
But in fairness, and in the defense of sports, you mentioned that you went from gymnastics to athletics, and then you even tried rugby. These are sports that are very demanding
on the body. Yes, you're right. My sister did the same thing. She went athletics. She was pretty good as well, my sister. And then she tried rugby as well, and she was in national team rugby as well. And she hurt herself.
Good. Oh, well, I mean, in fairness, if you play rugby,
my mom
and
dad are constantly.
Good chance you're going to get hurt. In just a few words, how can we all benefit from this event that's happening, not just for the small nations, but also for the, you mentioned the Special Olympics as well. How do we, Malta, how do we all benefit from these amazing events that are happening?
I think that the amount of events we are sort of helping organize. So if we had to look at the amount of events that were done in the past year, whether it is marathons, whether it's sort of international events at the track, and we are pushing on the media constantly, something or someone is going to ask and be interested in the sport. And that is exactly what we want to do. But we don't want athletes or sort of young kids to come in and not find the right structure. And that is what sort of we are trying to do as Athletics Malta. We want our clubs to be as strong as sort of the association, because at the end of the day, a strong club brings out strong athletes. Strong athletes equals good results. Good results will reflect back on Athletics Malta, and so it's a constant circle. And that is, again, it comes from the very beginning. Your excitement to be in a place, run a marathon, go to an international event, and that's basically it, I think.
Andy, I love your vision, I love your commitment, I love your passion, and I am extremely excited for what's going to happen this year and beyond, and I love your passion to see this infiltrate every single person in Malta and make sports part of a more important agenda.
We're trying.
Thank you so much for being on the interview. Wishing you the very best of luck for what's coming up, for the events that are coming up.
Thank you.
And thank you for being with me.
Thank you for having me.
To listen to this edition of The Interviewer again or other exciting interviews, head towards Spotify or SoundCloud and search for The Interviewer.